You're listening to the Periodic Table of Awesome podcast, bringing you the best of geek from week to week. Join your hosts, Dion and Quinny, and the occasional special guest as they talk movies, TV, gaming, toys, comics, and everything in between.
Something really crazy is happening to me. I need to stop it, but I don't know how.
It's because you're a horrible person.
What did you say? Gemma? I keep seeing his face everywhere.
This thing feeds off all the bad shit in her head.
Hello and welcome to the Periodic Table of Awesome. I am your host, Daddy McDeadbones, and tonight I am joined by Jill Face and Ian Mc. Dion Face, I don't know. Welcome to Halloween. Yes. Okay, that's all we're doing. We're not doing any more.
Welcome to Pre-Oween.
Pre-Oween.
Pre-Ween.
Pre-Weeners.
Pre-Ween. Mini-Ween.
Yes. Thank you so much for joining us. It is Tuesday night. We have a very packed show full of spooky, strange, creepy things that may or may not go bump in the night, and a whole bunch of other stuff that we're probably going to talk about as well. So,
sure.
Yay! Thank you. Are you excited for the weeniness? Are you a weener?
Sure.
Jill, I know
you're a hardcore weener. I am. I'm a big weener, but work has been kicking my ass this month, and I haven't been able to enjoy Halloween. As much as I normally like
Halloween.
Yeah, I can't even say I've watched a scary movie this month.
Like, oh, shit. You okay?
Yeah. No, well, not, I mean, but I'm really not.
Come on, Jill. You were supposed to watch The Terrifier 3.
Okay, so two things that I absolutely hate, clowns and Christmas. So
that's why you were supposed to watch Terrifier 3. You kept saying to me, it's like, I haven't seen anything scary. I'm like, well, there's that one right there. You can just give yourself some PTSD.
Look, yeah. I was thinking about going back to my old favorite, Dark Water. I'll watch that one this month.
Oh, nice. A bit of the old J-horror. Like, hang on, are you talking of the original Japanese one or the...
Yes.
Okay, good. Right.
Yeah, not the Jennifer Connelly one.
Yeah, no. That just didn't quite work as well, did it? No. Now, I've been trying to find spooky stuff as much as possible. And, like, you know, there's a lot of shit spooky stuff out there. And trying to avoid the shit spooky stuff, but find something that is legitimately creepy or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, not fucking around with, you know, shit like the Terrifier? No, what's it called? The Terrorizer?
Terrifier 3.
Fornicator? I don't know. Terminator.
To Fornicator.
Yeah.
Yes.
That kind of stuff. I don't fuck with that. I don't really want to, you know, fuck with creepy clown quality.
You could have like actually gone out and try and find something really scary, like, I don't know, all the Sony releasing box office receipts for the last year.
You know what? I could very confidently say that I watched the scariest movie of the last week, as did you, when we watched Venom 3.
Venom. Look, this isn't a Venom 3 review.
You're right, it's not. And are we ever going to review Venom 3 appropriately?
I don't know. I think we should just take it all together and just go the Sony 2024 period is kind of how that should all be reviewed, where we just take everything from 2024 and review it at once as a collective.
Oh. I do quite like the idea of like the you know the year's Razzies, or as I've been calling it, the race to the bottom. Like this
we've
year,
we've had some stinkers this year.
Fucking oath. And
but
you
we've
know
also,
what?
We've also had some absolute fucking gems this year, because if there's one thing that has come out of cinema this year that has made it super exciting, has been all of the fuckable popcorn buckets.
Like, those are the true winners.
They are the true winners of 2024.
Especially the two popcorn buckets that can fuck each other.
Yes.
And I saw just today that Venom 3 has one of those popcorn buckets. So
please tell me there's a giant tongue.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah. So,
okay, anyway. I was unaware that we were going to be going directly to fuckable popcorn. But
it's a spooky season.
Stamp your bingo card.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh man,
that's right.
Wait, I gave up on that bingo card a long time ago. Like, there's been so much weird shit come out that on that bingo card. Now it's just, it looks like one of those walls that's got Charlie Day in front of it poking at it. And the, my bingo card.
Yeah. We kind of each picked a film to talk about in a spooky way, except for Peter, who doesn't watch spooky stuff. So she's not here. That's exactly perfect on point for Pete. What was her spooky thing? Moana. That's what she said. That's terrifying in a climate.
I legitimately have a friend who was terrified in Moana of the volcano.
God. Oh, right. The heart of Tafiti is coming for me. Oh,
yes. But the one that we just saw in the trailer, the intro to it, was Smile 2, which unfortunately Jill hasn't had an opportunity to see Smile 2.
No, I wanted to watch
but
it.
But you saw
well.
Smile.
I saw Smile 1,
And I didn't see Smile 1.
And I went, saw both.
And I went in blind to Smile 2. And I said to Quinny as I was going in, I'm like, I don't have to see Smile 2. Smile in order to get Smile 2, right? And he's like, no, you'll be fine. Like, it's all good. And as we sat down and the movie played up, it literally said 6 days later. And I'm like, what the fuck, man?
I thought it was going to be fine. I thought it was kind of an anthology kind of movie where it was just like handing over to a new character or whatever. No. Smile 2 relies quite heavily on you having seen the first Smile.
It's all right. So, I picked it up as I went.
Okay, good. Yeah. I'm glad. what did you think of Smile 1, Jill? What were your feelings?
From memory, because it was a while ago that I saw it and only really watched it once, I enjoyed it. I thought... You're trying your smile right now. It wasn't terrible. I mean, it had its moments of cringe, but like all in all, I was like, oh yeah, that wasn't bad. Like, yeah.
Yeah.
But I also watched like extremely terrifying stuff. So I would put it in the middle.
Right. So, okay. Can we get a scale of, you know, mild as fuck to terrifying as hell?
Okay. I'd like, put the recent, like the Netflix Sabrina, the Teenage Witch, at the bottom.
Right, mild, right.
Yeah, mild. And then I'd put stuff like Ju-on and The Ring, like the really, really scary Japanese horror at the top.
Okay, right.
Right.
And things like Barbarian, where do you sit on that?
That goes at the top. Right. Okay. Barbarian is like at the top.
What about Event Horizon?
Ooh.
It's that, and there's another one that I get confused with, and I can never remember which one of those movies I've seen.
Right. What about 28 Days Later?
That's like towards the top.
Okay, cool. What about 28 Days?
Yeah, like the zombie ones are like kind of towards the top.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Just.
But yeah, Smile's in the middle. Smile's in the middle. Right. It's like it is a scary bit, but it's silly. There's silly moments.
Okay. Yeah. Because, I think it's important to determine the reviewer's level of, holy shit, that's scary.
Yeah.
Okay.
Cause...
Where would you put Tusk?
Oh, I haven't seen that one yet.
I haven't seen Tusk either.
Really?
Jesus. No.
Okay. All right.
But I also did watch The Nun, and that was, you know.
Wait, what about Blair Witch Project?
That's in the middle. Okay. That's in the middle.
See, when I watched it, as a real young'un and watched it on video while the whole thing was out there that maybe these people had actually died or whatever, it was really intense.
There's something to be said about found footage like horror movies, because there is an element of immersion where you're like, oh, fuck, this feels really real.
Yeah, yeah. If you can buy into the found footage thing, it does it does a special thing. And I liked that for that. Anyway, Smile. Oh, sorry, Smile 2.
Smile. Mm. Yeah, tell me about Smile 2.
Okay. So do you want a synopsis?
Yeah.
I've got no music for a synopsis, so I can just sound creepy in the background.
About to hang on, sorry, I'm going to get the skull to do the synopsis.
Sure, please.
Okay. All right. About to embark on a world tour, global pop sensation Skye Riley begins to experience increasingly terrifying and inexplicable events. Overwhelmed by the escalating horrors and pressures of fame, she must face her dark past to regain control of her life before it spirals out of control.
Bit,
there you go.
Bit higher there, Uncle Deadly. You need to go just a
little. Sorry.
Yeah, there we go.
Sorry.
Look, to be honest, I didn't have a great time in this movie, but that wasn't the fault of the movie. I got to say, like, my opinion of the film is caveated by the fact that I didn't have a great time at the screening, so I have to be fairer to it.
Oh, yes.
Because...
No, I remember you told me about that.
Yeah, it was late. There was an unannounced director interview, which was just piss. And then it was too loud. And even the director in the director's interview at the start was like, oh, sorry if it's really loud, but I just really wanted to see how loud it could go. And I was like, what the fuck? And it was too loud.
Mm-hmm.
So Smile 2. It was a time.
So did you find the idea of the smile that follows you creepy, D?
Not really. like someone walking around going, oh no, these people who were smiling. That wasn't the creepy bit. The creepy bit was all of the like unnerving. How do I rate this quickly? Is like, yes, I've seen J horror, and yes, I understand jump scares from the American side, and you've put them together very successfully. So I respected the put together. It's just the delivery was kind of like, oh, that would have been much scarier and a little bit more terrifying if it wasn't so aggressive during the screening in an uncomfortable seat kind of way. I think it was quite good. But it was also a little bit like, oh, yes, I've seen some of this before. It's just a different package. It's like, great. But, you know, hey, what's wrong with twisties? Put them in a new packet. They're still going to taste like twisties.
Jill, have you seen It Follows?
I haven't, but I know the premise. Right. And it's exactly the same as Smile.
Mm. This is what I hear, and I haven't watched It Follows, so I'm trying to sort of judge whether it is.
It Follows was an allegory for STDs because there was a lot of young people like being possessed by this thing that would then kill them, and then it would spread to another young person that they were intimate with. So this doesn't have the same narrative, but it does have the same premise of a possession that follows people around.
Right. Okay. Yeah. So in Smile, the concept is that the demon, this smile demon, transfers to another person when the host kills themselves in front of someone.
Yes. You have to witness the death and then the demon jumps.
Yes.
Yeah.
And the only way to get out of it, as we find in the first film, is to kill someone else. So, and have somebody else witness so you can pass it off basically.
Mm-hmm. Shit, I didn't know when I was watching this at the start going,
yes,
why is that person trying to kill someone?
Yeah, not a lot of ethics around it, but
no. And so, yeah, that whole thing at the start is the last survivor from the last film who somehow knows the trick and is trying to get rid of it. And yeah, it's got some very violent, you know, moments straight out of the gate. But then, oh man, the whole kind of thing is about a pop star who is dealing with addiction problems and doesn't know who she can trust, and, you know, suddenly being a multimillionaire who had a car accident how many years ago and is dealing with the guilt over her partner's death, yada, yada, yada. It's a lot of stuff.
Okay, so it's a complicated plot.
Yeah, it is, but at the same time... It's kind of like, yeah, just trying to do the same thing. You know, a smiley demon is chasing her and showing up at uncomfortable times.
I think that was also the sort of thing that had a little, it was a barrier to entry that I didn't enjoy, was the central premise of this film is you're supposed to find the lead character sympathetic and someone that you're worried about. And at no point did I give a shit about an ex drug addicted pop star, pretty much looked like Miley Cyrus, and their problems. So like, you just don't care that there's this person. It's like, oh, I've got trauma. Like, I got really high on drugs, and then my boyfriend's car crashed, and it was really traumatic for me. But I have to go on my world tour now, and it's a little bit like, don't give a shit.
This would be terrible for the world tour.
Yeah,
yeah,
exactly.
This is gonna ruin the world tour.
That's the meme of the film. And it's gonna ruin the world tour.
That's kind of disappointing because look, the first one actually had a decent storyline through the middle. Of the girl that was the last person in possession of the smile was actually doing research on all of the deaths that came before her, and she actually put it together and worked out what was happening. And there was a monster reveal at the end of the movie as well. You see the smile demon. So I'm like, where do you go from there?
They did the same thing in the second one. They held it all off basically until the end. And then it's like, the monster, the smile demon's here. And I'm like, oh, it's J-horror.
Yeah.
Like, okay, sure.
Yeah. It's very much the whole sequel thing where you just have to turn everything up another notch.
Okay.
And this time, you know, it was a lot of the same kind of stuff where, you know, there's people smiling and people, you know, it's all about not trusting your own mind. Exactly.
And there's a lot there's a couple of very genuinely creepy moments in there, which I think you might've talked about. And one absolute, like supposed to be terrifying, but is absolutely hilarious. Like it is just the opposite of terrifying. And it's just kind of, and then later on, like there's some more things, which is like, oh, that was a good jump scare. Oh, this is a good thing. Or this happened. And you start to, everyone in it is an unreliable narrator. Every character. And so it just all sort of comes to the end, and then it goes, oh, and we're definitely getting Smile 3. And you're like, cool. But that was all right. Like,
God damn.
You know, but yeah, it's good. Like, all budget.
Yeah. I will say there is one part, and you, as you said, Dylan, there's one part that is like, legitimately scary, and I think I don't even think they realized how scary what they were showing was, because it was scary not because it's a demon, not because it's this smiling thing, but because the idea of somebody breaking into your house and undressing and being naked in your house and is just fucking petrifying.
Yeah, okay. That was one of the ones where it's like, good scare
not
there.
Not comfortable.
But then there was another bit. What can we say? There's a bit where it's like having a hallucination, but it's supposed to be all of the backup dancers and all the people there, like, are all like infected and chasing her around her apartment, have all just sort of appeared in her apartment. But it is just, I was like, this is basically a bunch of theater kids just giving it what forever in like a theater sports go. And it was like, I think during that I turned to Quinny and I broke the rule of like, don't talk during movies. But I turned to her, I looked at her, I was like, still better than Cats.
They were jellicling all of
it was very funny.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
But yeah,
look, if you like the first one, you'll probably get a kick out of the second one. But it does repeat most of the beats.
It comes on streaming.
Yeah. Like, I can't say people wouldn't have a good time with it. You know?
Sure. Yeah.
It's not a bad film.
Yeah. And it certainly ratchets up the scale. Of everything.
Are we going to do ratings or we'll just talk about it and we'll move on to the next one? Because we've still got three other films to go and we've like sort of been a bit slow and
no
smile
ratings
heavy.
Tonight. Let's just.
No.
Just a yay or a nay on
Yeah, all right.
See it.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Next
if you
one,
like then, it, see it.
Should there we go to the next trailer and see what's going on?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. Then I would like to get. What was
I don't know.
I forgot the joke. Which is like, get the composer. What's his name?
Danny Elfman.
Huh? Danny Elfman, that's it. Get Danny Elfman on the phone.
My mom grew up here. that old house on the hill.
Wait, the ghost house? Is your mom Lydia Dietz?
Unfortunately.
She's a legend.
The living, the dead, can they coexist?
Now's my chance.
Ghosts aren't real. Only gullible people believe that kind of crap.
I can't believe I'm doing this. Beetlejuice, Beetlejuice, Beetlejuice! I need you to help me save my daughter. But how do I know that you're gonna keep your word?
I swear on my dead mother's soul. Yes. Bob, you and the boys stand guard. Nobody gets through. Oh! Let's go, honey.
Recognize this puss.
Never seen that chip before in my life or afterlife.
Beetlejuice, Beetlejuice, Beetlejuice.
I'm needed upstairs. Bob, hold down the fort. Spill your guts. Who wants to go first? All right, I will. See, I'm willing to do the work.
Where the afterlife is so random.
You're that thing from my dream.
Really more nightmare material.
Confronting the unknown. Conquering your fears. There's nothing harder.
Beetlejuice!
What the f***? Thank you all for coming to this special occasion, but right now with like a little privacy.
If you say his name... Beetlejuice, 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 oh shit.
Clatu Barada.
We're back for a sequel nobody expected, but do you know, why not?
I was saying while the trailer was playing that Missy in the chat is going to hate what I have to say about this movie because she's exasperating about how much she loved Beetlejuice, Beetlejuice. And I got to say, what a fucking cash grab of a movie.
Oh no.
Oh no.
Oh my god. What was it trying to do?
No fun at all, Jill. Not a
was a very distinct moment when I'm like, oh, I fucking hate this.
Oh no.
Oh dear. Was it the credits?
No, it was the bit where he starts weirdly singing Richard Marx. And then again the bit at the end where they're all singing MacArthur Park. I'm like, sign me the fuck out.
It's gone. Done.
Look, Ching Ching, thanks for coming, Ryo.
Hey, you
cash
know,
your paycheck.
Look, you know.
Oh, and let's just have a round of applause for creative casting in general, Ortega. This bitch is in every spooky thing right now. Can we, like, maybe find somebody else that needs a paying job? Like,
no,
this
she's
girl
spooky.
Is fine.
She's new spooky. She's
she's what, 20 years old and been typecast as the spooky ookie girl? Like,
don't worry,
she's gonna follow in the very small footsteps of Christina Ricci right into middle age.
Mm. And Christina Ricci's still doing spooky stuff.
Uh-huh. But she won't be in Scream, that's true. you know what? I'm gonna not necessarily go head to head with you on this one, Jill, but I actually quite enjoyed it.
It's good.
Yeah, I had a lot of fun. I found that I was worried that it was going to be exactly what you said, like a massive, just straight up cash grab, and everybody be kind of phoning it in. But I found myself laughing a few times and having a few moments of like, oh yeah, that works for me. That's kind of funny. I quite liked Bob. Big fan of Bob.
Yeah.
Bob and all of the little squishy head guys, they're a big part of it. But, yeah, I mean, it's not great, and I totally understand that.
But, you know, what were you after with a Beetlejuice sequel? Like, how long was when was the first one out?
1980-something.
1988.
Yeah, like 88.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's a long time between sequels.
35 years ago.
Yeah, exactly. You know, it's like, that's a long time between sequels. So, you know, whatever you imagine you remember it as when it came back, you're like, oh, okay, they're just doing the same thing. Like, you know,
yes, it's Tim Burton being Tim Burton all over the Burtoning place and everybody just replaying characters that they did 35 years ago.
I thought it was very smart how they got rid of one main character.
Thoughts on that.
Yeah. I was like, oh, okay. How are they going to, interesting. Claymation, I see.
Yes. I was really surprised that they mentioned him at all. Because, to people who don't know, Jeffrey Jones, who was the father in the original thing, is now a convicted pedophile, I believe. Mm-hmm. As such, was not able to be in the film because that would be terrible.
Yes. His character.
What I was surprised about was the fact that they kept on putting his face everywhere. And, yes, they got away with it with having the stop motion thing. But I was like, then there were photos and stuff of him everywhere. And I'm like, that's a choice.
Yeah, I mean, like, technically speaking, it was all archival and stuff. Like, there wasn't any stuff done that way. But look, you know, hey, it was.
Yeah, but like, you know, we usually don't speak of evil.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, I thought they, if they'd just left it at the start with him being eaten by the shark in Claymation,
yeah,
I would have been like, oh, sure. That's very clever.
Just full stop, that's it.
Yeah, but they felt the need to keep coming back to it and it being a fairly strong plot point. And I was like, I don't know I would have done that.
Yeah, it's a bit weird. And I have to admit, like, I feel like this sequel didn't have as many teeth as it felt like it had at the start. Like, it was supposed, like, the first one felt a bit new and original and a bit scary and a bit, like, there was a little bit of scare and a little bit of
paint by numbers. It was like, oh, you know that Beetlejuice is going to come back and you know that he's going to want to marry Lydia. Look, I would have said, why have this whole Monica Bellucci side story thing? Get rid of her and then make his new obsession the daughter.
Yeah.
That was weird too. That would
have made more sense to me.
I was just a little bit like, oh, that's where we're going? Okay.
Yeah. Well, especially because the Monica Bellucci storyline really went nowhere.
Exactly. went nowhere.
She showed up and I thought, oh yeah, she's potentially an interesting villain. I quite liked her soul sucking and the weird rubbery bodies that were left. I was amused by that. But then they did nothing at all with it.
Just kind of pointless, which was sad.
Yeah.
Like you could have still had that whole afterlife chase scene and everything with Astrid and Beetlejuice. Like, why did it?
Yeah. And I've got to say, I do think that out of the main cast, like, Bellucci got kind of shafted, but so did,
Catherine O'Hara?
The human tripod.
No? Who's the human tripod?
Which character, Quinny?
The actor who was a cop who I've just
Willem Dafoe.
Oh, Willem Dafoe. Yeah, that was weird too.
Yeah, that was also a strange one. And it's kind of like, oh, quirky, oh, fun. And it's like, it is, but it's also like, when I was young, I could eat all this sugar. And it would be fine. And now, like, that it's 35 years later. If I eat that much sugar, I'm going to get diabetes.
Mm.
If his character was more of a, like, oh, I'm here to keep Beetlejuice in line because he's always playing up, like, I would have understood that. Like, oh, you caused too much havoc on Earth before. And so now we're keeping an eye on you or something, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah, but it just didn't really.
You've got. Like, that's the thing. There are so many storylines that are vying for your attention. You know, you've got the Monica Bellucci storyline, which is then the Willem Dafoe storyline of chasing her. You've then got the boyfriend trying to get back from hell storyline, which kind of, I don't know, I'm like, is that felt like it probably should have been a bigger one. But then you've got this other fucking storyline with Rory, the wannabe husband, which I was just like, oh, God, where is this going?
Yeah, I feel like someone it felt very much like there was a pitch meeting where it's like, we've got Beetlejuice 2, all the cast are signed back on, we're going to make it. And then they were just like, sure. And then didn't check in until the final cut was delivered. And they're like, oh, okay. Like, you know, people have been asking Tim, it's like, Tim, what's the story about? Well, it's like, well, we're going to have all these characters, they're going to come back, and then this is going to happen. And we've got Monica Bellucci, she's going to be there. And people are like, great. You seem like you know what you're doing. And they perhaps didn't check in enough and just go, what's going on over there? Are you guys okay? He's like, oh, we're fine. We're still using the same house. Just doing everything.
Here's my rewrite.
Okay.
They go back to the house and Astrid finds the flyer for Beetlejuice and she summons him and then realizes that, like, oh, well, if she marries him, then she could go to the afterlife and find her dad. And then it's about how does she get out of the contract back to the human world, and they shut Beetlejuice back in the afterlife.
End of story. Happy Done. Days.
So much cleaner.
So much
along
simpler.
The way.
But know, my God, Catherine O'Hara is just amazing.
Yeah.
I want to know if the choir singing "Hear Me Come and We Want to Go Home" was a tribute to when she sung that on Schitt's Creek.
Well, it was more the tribute to the end of the first Beetlejuice, but yes.
Oh, she sung it on Schitt's Creek as well, but in a very like somber and like.
Now that makes me wonder whether the thing in Schitt's Creek was the tribute to the first
Beetlejuice. Maybe. Shit, it was a long time ago. I watched that movie. I don't remember.
Well, that's the thing. I do remember, like, I started watching it and I was like, oh yeah, I kind of remember Beetlejuice. And the more I watched the film, I was like, I think I remember not much of Beetlejuice, but I feel like I'm watching it again. So,
didn't
really bring anything new.
Yeah, in this, it's kind of like, yeah, it's a good afternoon movie. It's a good twofer. You could do a twofer if you wanted. It's just much the same. But, you know, I wouldn't rush out for it.
No, I'm kind of glad I waited to find it on streaming because, I was, and also I will say, whilst watching it, I looked at it and thought, why the fuck would you release this in September?
No, that makes no sense.
Like, what a bizarre marketing choice to release it not at Halloween.
Yeah, I don't know.
I'm not going to say that, I know marketing better than other people. Also, what was up with the Soul Train? I get the gag, but a little cringy.
Do we need to go into the Tim Burton is actually racist conversation?
That's a longer podcast, Jill.
We'll have that on another show.
let's have another one of those sometime.
He can't be racist. He made Planet of the Apes.
I must admit, I did laugh when we went into the film, though, and as soon as it started, it was just la 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 la.
Yeah, that classic Danny Elfman.
Yeah. Oh dear. Shall we move on to the next trailer? Which one should we do? Which one do you want to do? We've got two left. You can tell me which one. Do you want Salem's Lot or The First Omen?
I haven't watched either of them, so you choose.
No, better do The First Omen because I haven't watched Salem's Lot either.
Fuck. All right, then.
Don't have to be afraid. This child is his way.
Pretty is the devil. All right, this one is a surprise for me because I have seen Omen. So The Omen, which came out like in the 60s, classic horror like kind of thing, which is just that creeping dread about, oh my God, is this a child of Satan? What the fuck's going on? And it wasn't until I watched this on a plane and I was like, actually, that's not too bad. That's a pretty good like attempt at a prequel or a thematic sort of thing. And yes, thank you for the confirmation. That was definitely the Vikings TV show theme that was in that trailer. I was just sitting there going, what the fuck? This has thrown me out. Like, yeah, if you watched, yeah, it's just the use of the song in a kind of slightly Nordic way. I will give the First Omen, it's not perfect. It's not the best thing out there, but it's a really nicely matched stylistically kind of thing to the 60s horror. Okay. Like it feels very much of that time, of that place, in the kind of attitudes and the set direction and even the grain of the film. It feels quite interesting in that way. And it is a bit fucking, it's kind of raised those levels of like, wait, really? Is there actually a demon in a church somewhere? You know, it's interesting. So I recommend going out and seeing it. So you guys haven't seen it. Did you watch the original, The Omen?
No.
No, I vaguely remember. So this is The Omen's the story of like Damien, the son of the devil, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's 1976.
Right.
So, you know, you've got, it's Gregory Peck, you know, that kind of thing. It's very much, and it was also directed by one of your favorite directors, Quinny, Richard Donner. You know, he went from this to Superman 2. Wow. Yeah, hell of a turn, isn't it?
That's a fucking like, whiplash like, turn, isn't it?
Actually, I don't know which one he did first.
70, God. Hang on, because, yeah, Superman he was doing for quite a long time. It came out in 78, but they shot that and Superman 2 back to back, so fuck.
Yeah, it was this. I think it was The Omen and then Superman and Superman 2. It's just like, that's a hell of a fucking turn, Richard Donner.
Nice. Yeah, but you know, so tell us a little bit about what worked for you. Is it the style? Is it scary? Did it give you jump scares?
Not really. It's got more of a like. It's not really. It wasn't like Smile 2. It wasn't a kind of jump scare. Kind of here's horrific stuff. It's more of a creeping sense of dread. And I felt empathy for the lead because she's the one undergoing torment. Like she's a nun. She's from America. She goes to Italy. To go, like, she turns up there, she doesn't really speak Italian, she's young, you know, she's only 18. What happens in a Catholic church, kind of, you know, it's the temptation of the nun kind of attitude. It's like, who is she? You know, why is there another priest trying to contact her? Like, all this kind of stuff. It's got all that kind of Catholic weird guilt horror thing that you're after, you know.
I do love a bit of Catholic guilt.
Yeah, and I'm really happy that it wasn't a sequel because they've done many sequels. They had like The Omen 4 and all this kind of stuff, which was always... Say,
there's a lot of Omen films out there.
Yeah.
My favourite thing is that there's a Doctor Who in there. The second Doctor, Patrick Troughton, shows up in the Omen as one of the devil worshipping priests. Oh. It's like, there you go.
Yeah, like it's kind of good. And I like the lead actor, Nell Tiger Free. She did a really good job with it, with what she was given. Felt sympathy for her, empathy for the character.
Right, sympathy for the devil.
Yeah.
Yeah. So why did you watch it? Like, if you're on a long-haul flight, why would you choose that film?
Because you've got to keep yourself stimulated to stay awake to reset your body clock. And that's the, so, yeah, what? Horror. Fuck him. Fuck it. And also fuck everyone else around me.
Seriously, fuck that child 2 rows backwards watching through the chairs.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that child is fucking horrified forever now.
No, like, I didn't know. I was just kind of like, oh, yeah, what's that going to be about? Oh, I can handle a horror movie, no problem. Got another 7 hours on this bad boy before I can try and sleep, so I'll just go through it. And I watched it and I was like, oh, that's actually quite a good, I enjoyed that more than I thought, you know.
So should we go watch it?
Look, I mean, if you haven't seen it, like, I mean, you know, it, why not, like, give it a crack, get into The Omen, Get yourself some, okay. Like, why are priests trying to breed this Antichrist?
Mm.
Yeah. And that was,
I feel like a lot of that got covered in the first parts of Good Omens.
why priests are trying to breed the Antichrist?
Yeah, totally. Like, that's essentially the plot of the first Good Omens, is why,
Kind of, but that's
the nice and very good prophecies of Agnes Nutter.
Yeah, I mean, look, you know, hey, you can always go through all of that, like, what is it, the how and the why and the wherefore and everything like that, but this one was just kind of, like, a bit creepy and went into it a little bit more specifically. Like, I've got to say, you know, trigger warning for anyone who's out there, like, that kind of, the helplessness of women in this film is a little bit, you feel for that whole kind of situation. Mm-hmm. But also it's definitely just one, it's just a horror film. Like, come on.
Okay.
And it's also, it feels like it's time appropriate set in the 60s. So,
okay.
Yeah, look, hey, I just was better than I thought. I thought that would be trash and I'd be like, yeah, this is stupid. And then I watched it and I'm like, oh, actually, that's pretty good. I respect that.
I didn't realize there was, so there's a bunch of other Omen films, obviously. There's Omen 1, 2, and 3, and then 4, which came out in 1991. Then there was a remake in 2006.
No one talks of that one.
No, that's what I've kind of noticed. And there was a TV series, too, in 2016. So, it got precisely one season and then stopped. So, and it was on A&E Network, which is never a good sign. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I'll think about watching it because sometimes I get this and Rosemary's Baby confused.
Oh.
You know, both 70s kind of horrors with...
Yeah, with a demon child.
Yeah, demonic children. So.
Yeah, and also, like, it doesn't help that Mia Farrow was in the Omen remake of 2006 and she's Rosemary from Rosemary's Baby. Like, it doesn't help at all. Yeah.
Do you reckon they cast her for that reason specifically?
Probably, just to confuse the fuck out of everyone.
Yeah, and then not really.
And then they did
shared universe.
Yeah, and then they renamed it Berenstain to Berenstain. speaking of a stain of remake, let's have a look at the Salem's Lot trailer.
Ooh.
Well, I've always written stories about things that are so terrible. You'll run away until your brain won't remember.
So why did you come back?
I'm here for research.
What exactly, though, are you researching?
Another sleepless night, just like the ones that came before.
Have you noticed anything out of the ordinary in the lot recently?
Or is it something more?
There are some folks who had some kind of unusual experiences.
They used to tell us stories about this place.
You have no idea what you're getting yourself into here.
Answer me.
This is not a disease you can catch.
Is it something more?
Let me in.
If we don't fight back, they'll come for us eventually.
Things have gone bad in the lot now.
Run!
It's not safe!
sleepless night, is it something more?
Yeah, yet another, because, you know, Hollywood is dead and we have no creativity, we're doing yet another remake of a previously established Stephen King novel, but this time
remakes and sequels.
It's made specifically.
That's all we do with these.
Made specifically for Max, and is available for streaming right now.
It's an interesting one because this one was almost one of the films that got caught up in the Zaslav destruction of all things. There was a very strong possibility for quite a long period of time that this film was just not going to come out. It was one of the ones that they had finished filming. I think they filmed it 3 years ago or something like that. And it's literally been sitting on a shelf waiting for release or for people to just go fuck it and write it off. So that should give you a bit of an idea as to where we're at.
Yeah. Look, it's, directed by Gary Dolberman, who one of or two of Jill's favorite movies, It and It Two.
Jesus.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, like he you know, this is kind of good that, like, yeah, he's coming and he's doing a bit of these horror ones, and I recognize bits of it in Salem's Lot, but it is pretty much a paint by numbers remake, just the same kind of. Like just the updated kind of effects, and yeah, it's not really doing anything new, but it is successfully doing what things have done before. So I can't really say it's bad. I don't really care because I remember the first version that came out. I think it was in the '70s.
That
one. It was kind of the same kind of horror makeup effect too, where they're kind of blue with light shine in their eyes. That was the different kind of look, but. It reminded me of me asking the question is why aren't they doing more interesting vampire films like, which was the one, 30 Days of Night.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So remember 30 Days of Night, and kudos to Temple Smith. Have to mention Temple Smith. Ben Temple Smith, the artist for 30 Days of Night and one of the co-creators. But that was a genuinely interesting vampire film because... You know, what happens when it is perpetual night for 30 days and vampires invade your town? That's a problem. You know, in this one, it's pretty much the same thing. It's like, you know, during the night, you're fucked. During the day, if you stay in the light, you're okay. So,
yeah.
But I thought this was all right. A lot of people kind of went, it's a bit shit, but I was like, no, what do you expect? It's a horror movie.
Yeah.
Watch it at Halloween.
I'd actually forgotten. The original, the 1970s one, is not a movie. It's a TV series. It's a miniseries.
Oh, right.
I fucking love doing those in the 70s.
Oh, man. We loved a good miniseries in the 70s and 80s. Oh,
it's usually the Stephen King shit always got a miniseries.
Yeah, like The Stand or fucking,
yeah.
You know, all that kind of stuff. I like the design of the vampires in the 70s one, like because the main bad guy vampire was very Nosferatu-y. Like he had the big fangs and, you know, was very definitely not human. And they kind of riffed on that with The Last Voyage of the Demeter and stuff recently.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They kind of tried to do that here too, but it just doesn't work as well, I find.
What was the one that came out? I can't remember the other vampire one, which was the priest that came back to the town. Let me look it up. You talk amongst yourselves while I look that up. Okay. I've got to know what it is.
I remember the miniseries being creepy, and this originally was intended to be a miniseries as well. Like it was shot to be, I think they said 9 hours or something stupid like that.
Okay.
Three. So originally shot and was going to be three and a bit hours.
Mm-hmm.
And then they trimmed it down. So it was originally going to be released in September 2022. And then just, due to COVID and all sorts of other stuff, put it off. And then eventually kind of just dribbled it out. It hasn't had a big kind of... release or reception or anything. It's just like, oh yeah, here's that thing.
Yeah. I remember what I was talking about now. It was the Netflix series called Midnight Mass.
Oh, yeah.
Right. That was an interesting one. Again, a TV series kind of vampire thing. That was an interesting premise. But, you know, Salem's Lot. It's fun.
Okay.
Yeah, it's good. It's a horror. Like, you got some horror movies in there. You got Smile 2. You can go see that.
I want to talk briefly about one that I've watched today because we don't have a trailer for it or anything like that.
You watched a whole horror movie today?
I did.
Don't you have a job?
Yeah. Shut up. Don't talk about what? No, I watched a very bizarre little film that I've been kind of keeping on the back burner because I was thinking, okay, I'd like to watch that at some point. I saw a trailer and was like, oh, that sounds really interesting. So it's a film called I Saw the Glow of the TV, I think it's called.
I Saw the TV Glow.
I Saw the TV Glow, sorry. My bad. It's directed by Jane Schoenbrunn, and has Justice Smith and Bridget Lundy Payne. So, you know those creepy pasta stories where, like, there's one of them that was where you watched a TV show late at night, and then you can't quite remember whether it was a real TV show or not, but it was all fucked up, and the more you go looking to try and find out what this TV show was, the weirder things get.
Yes, oh my God. My favorite thing about the 2010s was creepypasta.
I know, right? I'm all down for a good fucking creepypasta. That one especially because, like, I love that idea of...
Yes, Credit Kango, I was exactly thinking too many cooks.
Yes. You know, that thing that... And I remember the same thing, like, when I was young. For me, it was The Wicker Man. You know, like at 11:30 at night, I get a phone call or a message from my mate just going, dude, there's this fucking show on. You have to watch it. Watch it now. And it was like we're 10 minutes into the original 1970s Wicker Man with Edward Woodward. And I watched the rest of that and it was just like, what is this shit? This is fucked up. And that's kind of what this is about. But it's this very strange little slow burn film of these two kind of outsiders in this little town who bond over watching this TV show that's on between 10:30 and 11 o'clock on a Saturday night called The Pink Opaque. And
yeah, I've heard about this. Like, I've heard a little bit about this movie and yeah, I do want to check it out.
Hmm.
It's a very strange film.
Cool. And I like weird stuff.
Yeah. Like, I'm not sure it entirely works. Mm. I think perhaps it takes a little too long to say anything.
Okay.
But when it does do weird, it does it in a way that I'm like, oh, yeah, no, that's legitimately weird. I'm actually creeped out by how weird that is. So is it a horror? I don't think so.
Okay. But if it's along the lines of creepypasta, then it's a little bit scary.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. You know, creeping dread is also part of the whole Halloween experience.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is. Absolutely. And I mean, it's funny because looking at Beetlejuice, that's very much the American Halloween. You know,
it's
a bunch of...
It's child friendly.
Yeah, as Loudner would put it from Critical Role, fun spooky.
Yeah.
And this is not fun spooky. It's like maybe the people in it are having mental breakdowns. Maybe they're not. Maybe there's something really fucked up with them. We don't know. Yeah.
I did attempt at looking at another one that was marketed as a horror TV series called Hysteria. Yes. It's on Foxtel. Now, immediately the name turned me off because I don't like the etymology of the word hysteria because it's all steeped in women being crazy.
Yeah.
So I was willing to give it the benefit of the doubt to see whether there was any context to why it was called Hysteria. And it's a series set in the 80s, and it's about the Satanic Panic era of when kids were playing Dungeons and Dragons and into heavy metal music and all of that kind of stuff. And it's a group of parents that are worried about what's happening to their children, but there's also a subplot of slasher horror that's happening. I got two episodes into it when I was just like, I'm sorry, this is too slow burn and very boring for me. So I kind of quit. But it was kind of like semi-focused on the mother parents that were worried about their children. One of them being like a Christian woman who's trying to convince people to come into church and to banish Satan. And the other one who's the mother of a kid who plays in a rock band, and he starts being a teenager and, you know, rebelling. And so now all of a sudden I think my child is satanic. So yeah, I don't know if anybody wants to give that one a go. It was a bit boring for me.
Didn't really work for you?
No, I was looking for something a bit more hardcore.
Yeah, fair enough.
I also watched Woman of the Hour on Netflix. They put in the hashtag description horror, but honestly, it's just fucking real life and isn't that scary, because it's based on a true story of a serial killer from the 70s that was murdering women and actually made his way onto a dating show.
I remember reading about that.
And was matched with someone who thankfully escaped. The movie's directed by Anna Kendrick, and she stars in it as well as... she's the woman who was on the dating show that matched with him. That was a pretty good movie. But yeah, it's not really horror when it's just the tragedies that happen to women on a daily basis. But I guess that is horrific.
Yeah, I think that's an interesting way of looking at that. A lot of people, if faced with the, you know, day to day life of being a woman, would go, "This is a terrifying horror movie," and you're like.
Well, yeah. That's what
welcome to our life.
If you're looking for a Halloween costume, man or bear, which was done.
Yep.
Actually, Missy did say just in the chat another good one, which is Late Night with the Devil. That's a really interesting and good one. Also, stylistically, like in the 70s as well. So I would match Late Night with the Devil with The First Omen for your true kind of
nice
horror
double feature.
There you go.
There's a special, and I've got to find the name. So Late Night with the Devil is a, you know, interesting film. There was a special that aired once on the BBC back in the late 90s. And I need to find, I'm trying to find the name of it, but basically it's one of those almost apocryphal stories of like, when they played War of the Worlds and people believed it.
Yeah, they thought it was the news.
Yeah. Yeah, and it was like so Ghost Watch. I knew I'd find it. So in 1992, on October 31st, Halloween night, the BBC aired this show called Ghost Watch. And partway through, like, it was sort of almost a panel show, like live studio audience and everything. And everybody was watching it going, oh, yeah. And it scared the shit out of viewers to the point where the BBC received heaps of phone calls going, what the fuck are you doing? This is terrifying. Has never been aired since. I desperately want to see it because I remember seeing it at one point and thinking, this is scary as shit. It was great.
Well, hopefully you've got something there to think about for your Halloween viewing pleasure, because in the middle of a week, damn it, everyone's got stuff to do.
So that's what we've got planned for next month.
Yeah, absolutely. The big month, November's going to go off.
And that was, I can't believe we have all of those things. Like, you know.
I know.
Right? All of those exclusive interviews.
I know. Yeah. All of those screenings that won't be coming out for 4 years. I can't believe we got access to them so early. And we're allowed to talk about them.
I mean, we can't put them onto the show. So,
I mean, currently,
so many social reactions.
Yeah, yeah.
Currently, I feel like I'm living my own horror nightmare tonight. Well, the last couple of weeks, just the whole sort of thing is like, well, the computer hates everything.
Yeah.
I should fix that.
I like Predakanga's question. While the stream was down, who's the horror villain power rankings? Can Sadako beat Freddy, as in, I assume he means Freddie Mercury.
I'm pretty sure he means Freddy Krueger.
Oh.
I would say Freddy would beat Sadako just because he's got the nails and he's very cunty.
Yeah, and he's also got that whole, like, I can walk into your dreams kind of thing.
Yeah, I reckon he could get in the videotape.
Yes, actually.
Yes.
I can imagine that, like, she starts, you know, crawling out of the TV and he's there.
But he's already in the well and pulls her back in.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, the claw would come up behind and drag her back down.
Yeah.
I'm totally for that. I don't know. With the smile demon, I like the idea that, you know, the smile demon attaches itself to Freddy and then, like, he just decides, oh, well, fuck it, I'll start killing people. They decide that they're good friends and they'll just go around killing for fun.
I want the thing from the thing. Oh. Because you just never know.
Yeah.
It has all the horrors, you know.
I still think The Thing is one of the most fucking effective horrors out there because it combines the two things of relentless paranoia of is the person that I'm talking to possibly going to kill me?
And also isolation.
Isolation, absolutely. And then fucking horrific body horror.
Ah, and that too. Yeah.
Yeah, I enjoy a bit of that. It's all good fun.
Sure.
Love a bit of body horror.
Yeah, I live it.
Okie doke. Well, I think that's about enough. I think that's enough. We've had enough internet for tonight. we don't currently have anything on. What is next month? We haven't actually really decided, have we? November on Friday.
We could talk about Venom 3, but quite frankly, I don't know that we want to.
I just can't remember what's coming out recently. Like, I know that next month, toward the end of the month, we've got things like Moana 2 and Wicked and Gladiator 2 and the Dune Prophecy TV shows coming out. But at the start of November, I'm like, I can't remember what's on.
I'm enjoying finishing off this season of Agatha All Along. I'm enjoying that a lot.
Looking forward to the finale on Thursday.
Oh, that's right. It's a two-parter, isn't it?
Yeah. And that's how you do it. Fucking Halloween night is the finale of a witch-themed TV show.
Yeah.
Christ, at least I got one of them right.
It's actually been a lot better than I expected it to be.
Sure.
Me too. Yeah. I was very pleasantly surprised by the last episode. Like, first couple, I was like, oh, yeah. The last couple have been like, this is actually really good.
A catchy theme tune, too.
Yes. Also, we've got the return of Lower Decks, which is joyous.
Mm-hmm.
Us having that back.
Heartstopper Season 3.
Yes.
I'm watching at the moment.
Oh, nice. I'm waiting to get stuck into that.
I can't wait to start What We Do in the Shadows, Season 6.
Oh, yes. Is it their final season? I can't remember.
I think it is.
Oh, no.
I know.
Damn it. there's a few things out there, but we'll get around to it. And if you have any suggestions, send them in.
Yeah, absolutely. We do still want to hear from you. We'd love to know suggestions. And I'm sure that Elskan Auger is out there somewhere throwing so many different Norwegian things at us,
sure,
saying, we should watch this. It's amazing.
Sure.
And one day we might.
Yeah. It's right on your schedule, isn't it, Queen?
Absolutely.
Just behind Sound of Music.
And parts of Wreck.
And the
wild. Yeah, well, I guess I'm off to go and watch Parts of Wreck now, then, shall I?
Yes, we're all going to do that. Is there anyone to raid, Queenie? You've got control. You have the power!
I do indeed. Let's have a look and see who we might be able to raid. Pex. Pex is out there doing Red Dead Redemption 2. So let's go and raid her, shall we?
Thanks, everyone in the chat. Happy Halloween, y'all. Make sure
happy
you give
Halloween!
Out- Give out good candy and no bullshit like apples or toothbrushes, let people have fun.
Yes, just let them have fucking fun.
Yes. Oh dear. All right.
Thanks, everybody. Good night.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Periodic Table of Awesome podcast. If you have questions, please email info@theperiodictableofawesome.com. Find us on our website, www.theperiodictableofawesome.com, where there's links to our iTunes, Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, Instagram, and Twitch. Until next time, stay awesome.